Welcome to the worst nightmare of all. Reality.
Explore the lesser-known stories of our unknown world. Join the pursuit of the paranormal with Ash and Greg.
Hey Ash, how's it going?
Hey Greg, not too bad. Cracking on with the year, like mid-February already.
I know. I don't know where the time has gone. I really don't. It feels like it was Christmas a long time ago. And we're now coming out of COVID, which is good. So, yeah, there's light at the end of the tunnel, as it were. The summer's coming. Probably it's raining as we speak.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be snowing this week as well.
Oh, is it?
It's up here, probably.
It's lashing it down here. It's absolutely awful. And as we speak, I'm currently waiting for the results of a COVID test. lateral flow test. It appears to be negative at the moment, so we're all good.
Good.
It feels like I'll be lost without doing them. I do them about 3 or 4 times a week.
Bloody hell.
Because I work in an office, and I just want to make sure that everybody's all okay. So what's been happening with you? What's been happening briefly in the UFO world in the last week or so then?
Well, there's a video released regarding a swarm of UFOs over out in the Pacific. However, it's I won't even call it a picture. You can't make anything out of it.
I saw it on Twitter. I saw a picture of it on Twitter, but I didn't really know what I was looking at, I'll be honest.
Well, yeah, as far as it's something, and it's obviously everyone's talking about it right at the minute, but again, it's just a grainy picture that if someone put it on Facebook, you'd just be like, come back with a proper picture. Someone put it up.
There's lots of UFO stuff on TV at the moment as well. There's Craig Charles on UFOs. I briefly saw that yesterday. Nick Pope appears on it quite often.
As always.
I've only briefly checked on it. Then who else was on there? I was watching the program this week and one of our previous guests was on it. It featured quite heavily. And that was Malcolm Robinson.
Yes.
So he's been on there quite a lot on the TV. Being an expert on subject matters, so that was quite interesting. It's like, we've spoke to him. My kids are like, what? It's like, yeah, I spoke to him the other day. And my eldest daughter's like, yeah, that's pretty cool. And then just carried on her phone. Is there anything else UFO related? Or no?
No, not really. If you've been following our social media, we released the UFO report 2021. Yes. It's now available that's available to watch, to view or download on ufoidentified.co.uk.
Yeah, well worth a read. I pushed it out onto abovetopsecret.com, which some of you may or may not know, but it's a forum rather than anything else really, just about paranormal, UFOs, everything sort of weird. And I got called out for ripping off your report, Ash, so I do apologise.
Yeah, stop plagiarising me, Greg.
Yeah. Ash did say that he'd see me in court as well over the back of it. But yeah, some guy was really not happy with me just posting it up there. I did put all the links to the website, your website, everything like that. So I was hardly, and I said, the co-host of a podcast that I do, it's his report. After I was being called out and said, are you Ash Ellis? No, I'm not.
Some people need a day off.
Yeah, they do. The wonderful worlds of forums. So the paranormal as well this week. There's an app that has been talked about quite heavily over the last week, and I won't name the app, but if you're amongst any of the groups on Facebook, particular. Everybody's putting screenshots up of the results they're getting from this the words being said by this app.
Right. Okay.
I'll be honest with you, it looks like absolute bullshit. And I keep commenting the fact that it's an app program. The creators have actually said it's for entertainment purposes, not meant to be paranormal. Like, it's not a device for communicating with the dead or whatever spirits are. But everybody's putting up and saying, can't believe it said my boyfriend's name. It probably didn't, because people have been asking for screenshots, and lo and behold, they can't put a screenshot up. It's always like hell watching you. I'm like, it's probably got a very limited dictionary, and it's going to be paranormal biased.
Yeah. Very cliche. Like,
yeah. So that's been happening quite a lot this week. So yeah, not much else has been taking up my time apart from replying to those comments.
We were guests on Frank That UFO.
Yes, we were.
Podcast.
Yes, we were.
And he said one. I knew he said one podcast then. Yeah, UFO Thinker podcast. I think that'll be out this week actually as well.
Yeah, I think it is
next week or so. You can check that out and see our interview on there as well.
And surprisingly, there was quite a bit of paranormal talk as well.
The
end, as well as UFOs. And Frank's a great guy. We've had him on before on the podcast. Really nice chap. It was a great, great conversation. But before we go on to this week's guest, just want to have a big shout out to Maggie Owen for supporting us on the Buy Me a Coffee. Do appreciate
that. Yeah, cheers, Maggie.
Yeah, thank you. And she's been pretty active on the comments about some clips we've put up recently, and tattoos that her other half has got, and also helping us out with a sound clip as well that we posted up this weekend. It was just this weekend, actually.
Yeah, a few days ago.
Yeah. So, yeah, thank you, Maggie. It's much appreciated. And big shout out to Ian as well for commenting again this week. Glad you're enjoying the episode. Been contacted by quite a few people this week just saying that the podcast's been really good and they're really enjoying it. So thanks, guys. That really does help, because a lot of the time we can see how many people are listening, but that we don't know whether anybody's actually enjoying it or not. So, yeah, we've had a big uptick over the last sort of week and a half, 2 weeks.
Definitely.
And had one of our biggest, well, it was our most listened to week. Is that the best way to say it?
Yeah.
So big shout out to everybody new who's listened to us. So welcome
along. And if you want to support us, like Maggie and others do, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/paranormalpod. And from just £1 a month, you can help support the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So that brings us nicely on to this week's guest. And this week's guest is someone we've spoken to before. He is a paranormal investigator. He's also a TV presenter. It's got shows on Discovery Plus, Sky, Amazon Prime. Some of the programs he's been on, Paranormal Captured, The Haunted Hunts, Unexplained Caught on Camera, Celebrity Ghost Hunt Live, and Search for the Truth. So how he finds time to come on our podcast, I don't know. But we had a really good chat with Danny Moss. We spoke to Danny last March. Can't believe it's been a year. And we talked to Danny about the new series of Haunted Hunts that's coming up. The series that was released after we spoke to him, which was season 4, generally what he's been up to. We also had an interesting conversation about another hot topic at the moment, which is haunted objects and haunted dolls, which is quite topical, for want of a better phrase, at the moment. And you get his take on it and what he thinks to haunted objects in general. And we had a good conversation about that. So thanks for joining us again this week. Sit back, get a coffee,
and enjoy the show.
So welcome, Danny. Thanks for joining us again. How are you doing?
I'm very good, guys. Thank you. I can't believe it has been last March that we spoke last. That has gone very, very fast.
Yeah, and I've seen from your social media that a lot has happened for you guys and Haunting the Hunt. So would you like to just give us a quick update of what you've been up to the last 12 months?
Yeah, it's it's been a hectic time, really, despite the pandemic. I think we were one of the lucky ones that still had quite a lot going on mid-pandemic, which we were very lucky, really. And we managed to do things very correctly and very safely, thank God. It's been a crazy year. And my heart goes out to everybody who has suffered, business owners, everybody who's lost a loved one as well. Just my heart goes out to everybody who's suffered with it. For us, we completed season 4 of the Amazon Prime show, The Haunted Hunts. That was a fascinating experiment that we took part in. Myself, I completed the second series of Paranormal Captured as well, which was on Sky Pick. I was involved in quite a lot of development pitches out to the likes of Discovery Plus and other platforms as well. And right now we are in the midst of season 5.
Yeah, so can you give us any sort of update on what is going to be happening in season 5? Because I know season 4 was slightly different to the previous seasons. What can we expect in season 5?
Yeah, season 5, it's a really interesting one, this one. And it's a great one for the more sort of technical investigators out there and the more skeptical investigators, I would say, as well. The techniques that we use in this new series are very difficult to provide false positives, if you like. There's not a lot of pseudo tech used. It's a lot of really sort of scientific based investigating with not a lot of room for outside influence, I would say.
Cool. So I've just sort of been watching a few episodes of series 4. Like Greg said, it's a little bit different to the previous series that you had of Haunted Hunts. And the underlying name of it was Project Invocation. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that right. But correct me if I'm wrong, but that's where you're using fear to try and invoke sort of reactions or enticing something to happen. So what was the sort of the basis behind that sort of approach to these investigations?
Yeah, well, I think when we first created the show, we set out to make every single series completely different from the last. And having done a couple of the journey seasons, if you like, where we spend a long time in one particular location, this idea came about from the theory that human fear could potentially invoke paranormal activity, or is it simply just the case of human imagination creates, the paranormal activity in the brain? You believe that paranormal activity is happening when it's actually not. A lot of the personal experiences that you hear from eyewitnesses and in various cases throughout the country and throughout the world, really, a lot of it is personal based experiences, which I'm not a massive believer in. And it's not that I don't believe the person who's telling me, it's more of a case of I've got to be there and witness it myself, which I'm sure plenty of other people would agree with that. So the idea here is that if we had a camera set up at the exact time that we believed paranormal activity was occurring, because we're in a situation of that we're uncomfortable with, that could cause the human brain to imagine things. You know, if you're in a dark room, for example, you tend to see things. If that was actually caught on camera, then that's good evidence, instead of, just the personal experience happening. So it was a fascinating experiment to be involved in. And some of the things that did happen were extraordinary, really jaw-dropping moments. And there was a lot of occasions where we will openly say our imaginations were affected.
So what's your interest, the Cannock Chase episode? Because regular listeners, we know, we talk about this quite a lot, but Greg and I went to Cannock Chase for an investigation back in August for a full day there. And so obviously that was particularly interesting to watch you guys be there. And I think there's like a part where, like I say about the fear when you're there, when you were doing your long vigils, and you could see like the anxiety and fear that was sort of coming on you while you stood up there on your own. So we sort of had a similar thing when we were there with we were there for hours in the middle of the night, totally fine. And all of a sudden, it just all three of us were just, we need to go. Just all got this feeling of just, let's get out of here now. So, and like I say, that fear just creep out of nowhere as well. Like I say, being in loads of situations where it should be scary to most people, but you feel totally normal and totally fine. But then when we were there, it was just, we hightailed it out of there.
We'd done the Estes method and got some extremely positive responses for stuff that we'd talked about on previous podcasts. The name of one of the people in the group came up, and the three of us were a bit twitchy at one point. It was like, this don't feel good. So we packed up and we're walking down this pathway, and we're just deciding which one of us is going to run first. I said, I'm just not going to look left. I'm not going to look right. I'm just going. And it just, fear took over. And like you say, is it the fear that makes you see stuff that's not there? Or does it actually enhance what's happening? So what did you take from it? What did your findings suggest in terms of, is it fear? Does that breed the manifestations of paranormal, or the other way around?
Yeah, I think we wanted to really sort of delve into it in the mind of, people go on public investigations with event companies all the time. People go into abandoned locations that are all dark and dingy. And we kind of wanted to get into that mindset on how people would position themselves. The Cannock Chase one is a prime example. You know, that is reputedly one of the most haunted forests in the country, and we were so eager to investigate it, but the crew took us one by one, placed us in a position miles away from everybody else. So, you know, being stood in the wood with nothing but a camera, you know, that for anybody is going to be a truly terrifying experience. And that was the whole point of it, really. Can our imaginations be affected by that? But if something does happen, the aim was to capture it on camera. Unfortunately for us, nothing I would deem to be paranormal happened during that investigation. But I think we all took from it, the idea that we can all be guilty, no matter how experienced an investigator you are, no matter how skeptic an investigator you can be. Even if you're a non-believer in the paranormal, we all can be guilty of letting our imaginations get away with us. And it was just a sort of message out there, really, to the rest of the paranormal world to, you know, take a look at what you're doing and try to rationalize. You know, we've been very, very guilty of it in previous seasons. When we first started out, we thought absolutely everything was paranormal, as I'm sure a lot of teams did do when they first started out. And I think as your journey progresses, you become more and more skeptical. But if the right experiments and the right things are in place, you can really start to delve deep into the psychological aspect of everything.
One last thing for me about the sort of Cannock Chase one, like I say, it's had a huge interest because we were there, was when you're doing, and I'm a UFO guy, and when you're doing the Estes method, at one point you sort of try to reach out to any possible extraterrestrial sort of entities that could try and manipulate the spirit box you're using. Do you think that is a way that people could communicate? And what is your general thought? I don't think I've heard you talk about UFOs before. What your sort of thought on them on that subject is?
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm a massive believer in UFOs. And you know, the fact that they use radio waves. I'm not an expert on UFOs by any stretch of the imagination, but the whole sort of radio waves thing in space, and you know, they can pick up on certain things. I actually got the idea from the TV series Hellier, when they were doing the SS method to potentially interact with otherworldly beings. I love that idea, and it's very fascinating, but absolutely nothing came through that we could deem to be that. And even if something did, it can be open to so many different interpretations.
We speak to a lot of people, and over the course of the time we've been doing the podcast, everything seems to come under the word paranormal now. So we talk to people like yourself. We've spoken to John Blackburn, and he'd done a lot of work with through his psychic work and mediumship, but also he started going to Rendlesham Forest and trying to communicate with extraterrestrials and aliens as well. So it's interesting that you were trying it also. Do you think that there is a connection between spirits, essentially non-terrestrial beings, and all that kind of phenomena?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I think I'm a big believer that we were put here by a higher, more intelligent being, if you like. There's so many different theories out there, but that's certainly one that I can really take on board and show an interest in, because I think there is some kind of logic behind it. You only have to look at the sort of the cave drawings that have been found. The evidence, it's not overwhelming evidence, but there is evidence there to suggest that we come from a higher being. If that is the case, then certainly spirits and otherworldly beings, will be connected in that way. It's a mind-blowing subject. And, like I said earlier, I'm not going to pretend I'm an expert in UFOs, by any stretch of the imagination, but it's a subject that absolutely fascinates me. And if there is one place I would love to visit during my lifetime, it would be Skinwalker Ranch.
100%. We've spoken, it was shortly before we spoke with you last year, we spoke with a guy called John Edmonds from a place called Stardust Ranch, which is almost like Skinwalker Ranch on acid. And he and Ghost Adventures have been there and picked up on sort of paranormal phenomena happening in his house, and he's experienced that as well. So it's... as we've been going through this journey of the podcast and speaking to different people, it does appear that certain people have multiple different types of experience, whether it be paranormal, along with cryptids, portals opening up, UFOs, aliens, and some people like John Edmonds are lucky or unlucky to have them all at once. She's experienced all these different types of phenomena. Have you been to any places in the UK or abroad that you known to have been affected by alien, UFO, or paranormal phenomena across the whole sort of site itself? So is there any places where there's been multiple different types of phenomena happening?
Yeah, well, I think the obvious one that stands out would be Cannock Chase. There's so many famous UFO sightings from that site. Funnily enough, we actually do a thing called the Haunted Hunts Extra, which is part of a subscription service that we do. And we were investigating an old sort of abandoned care home place that we managed to get into and have the rights to investigate. And on the way back, we had to trek along this huge path, a good sort of 15-minute walk. And all of a sudden, we saw this light dart across in the sky at just this rapid speed, and it was ginormous. It was one of the biggest white flashes of light, just a huge ball. And we all saw it at the same time. We all kind of just looked at each other and went, "Oh my God, what was that?" But, was that a comet skimming the atmosphere? There's other explanations for it. But it's something that we don't really tend to go into because we're not really as clued up as a lot of people out there. We'd just be delving into something that I would rather have a large amount of knowledge about if I was going to go into that.
So we've seen some amazing footage that you've captured of apparitions during the Pendle Hill stuff on season three. Since you filmed season four and coming into season five of Haunted Hunts, have you captured any evidence that you would say is on par with that apparition that you captured on camera, which we thought was amazing?
Without giving too much away, we've captured something in season five, and we're not finished filming yet. Maybe on par is not the right word, but it is certainly one of the most mind-blowing things I've ever seen, in a very, very different type of way. It's a manifestation of some sort that I have never, ever seen or would even imagine seeing. The one that we caught in Pendle Hill was, you know, I will always say we'll never catch anything like that again. It was the holy grail for me. Just so many different ways of trying to debunk it, and we're just at a loss. And so are so many other people. We've received that many messages about it. We've had image experts look at it and everything, and no one can come up with anything. This one in season five is very, very different, but just as compelling. And I've actually had it given to somebody who is a real skeptic within the paranormal, really clued up with this type of thing. And he says, I've never seen anything like that in my life. It is an amazing moment. In terms of, you know, season four, we captured some incredible audio phenomena, but sort of visual wise, I don't think anything will ever compare to what we captured at Lower Wellhead Farm.
Yeah, that was incredible, that one. And it's one that we've spoken about, me and Ash, many times, that it's just clear as day what you see. And mind-blowing. So in terms of other bits of footage, so I've seen one recently that you've posted where you're standing in front of a box which has a doll in it, which is a grey doll. And you've got a crucifix in your hand, and you're knocking on the actual box itself, and lo and behold, much to your amazement, and I think anybody that watches the footage, a knocking noise comes back, which is incredible. Can you explain to everybody sort of the doll, the reason you've got the doll, and the stuff you've been trying and experiencing with the doll?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of people that know about the Grey Stoll. We've been documenting it since very early 2018. There's absolutely no history or backstory to the doll whatsoever. It is just a normal doll. I do come across a lot of bullshit online where people come up with these dolls, they create a backstory and just make it haunted. And a lot of these, especially in the UK, and I did post very publicly about it recently, have only started manifesting after we started documenting what happened with the Grey Stoll. Now, it's very important that I make note that I am not a believer in haunted dolls or haunted items as such. I believe anything can hold energy, and I believe anything can hold attachment to it, emotional attachment, things like that. What's happened with the Grey Stoll has defied my entire belief system, and I made no secret of that. What happened with it at the very start, with, you know, the fact what happened at Nancluady Dre, being physically knocked off a chair, and then the 3 days afterwards we found it moving in our office, just tiny little half inch movements. Multiple experiments done on it, and over the last 4 years, you only need to go online and research it to find the evidence. The thing with the knocking is what I like to call sort of triangulated evidence, and evidence that reoccurs often. So you will often hear in Tatton Old Hall, where the Grey Stoll is kept, the sound of three knocks. And it comes from the room it's kept in. It comes from the box. We've caught it happening on a lot off camera with the box. This one particular time, it happened in a room full of about 8 different people, members of the public as well, who were actually there on the night to witness it. Absolutely no explanation at all behind it. You know, I knock on the box, I ask for it to do it back, and it clearly does it back. And it's happened on a few different occasions, both with eyewitnesses in the room. There's actually another video that you can find online where it happens again, which shows all the guests in the room reacting to it. And there's also a very famous video online where it's captured on a locked-off camera where it actually says release and then it knocks 3 times.
Yeah, that was the next bit of footage I was going to talk about. That's quite compelling evidence as well. And it's clear as day, says release. So, there is currently some haunted objects making their way around the media. Obviously, we won't go into that too much, but it's interesting that you say that you find that like haunted objects as such are not really a thing, but we've got the Greystoll definitely giving out evidence. So what do you think is manifesting in the Greystoll rather than potentially other famous dolls, as it were?
I've known and I've spoke to people who have got some very, very solid cases for haunted items, who are regularly witnessing phenomenal evidence, and evidence that is backed up by people there. It's backed up on camera. A lot of the stuff that I'm seeing from, you know, online and on certain this morning shows, there's absolutely no evidence at all to back it up. And that's where my issue lies, is that if you're going to claim that you've got a haunted item, you have to have the evidence to actually back that up, because otherwise not only opening yourself up for a hell of a lot of skepticism, you're also embarrassing the field that I care so deeply about. And as someone who's had my entire life affected by this item over the last 4 years and seen people emotionally affected by it, it really does infuriate me. As far as the actual attachments to the Greystoll, I still cannot say 100%, but who can ever say 100%? You know, I can't sit here and say for 100% this doll is haunted. What I can say is that it's the closest thing I've ever seen to a haunted item, and what has happened with it defies all logic. I've had seriously well-respected investigators and skeptics witness it and not be able to offer an explanation. It is a pure paranormal moment. And when we say paranormal, people automatically go, oh, when you say paranormal, it means haunted. No, a paranormal is just an unexplainable event. I've witnessed voices come out of this thing. I've witnessed it move. I've witnessed it knock back. I've witnessed it affect people, implant images into people's heads. 3 people in a room that have had the same image implanted in their heads is not someone's imagination, because it's impossible for 3 people to imagine the exact same thing at the exact same time. It's a very powerful thing, and I have no answers to what it is. We believe with some of the voices that we've caught coming out of it, there are multiple attachments. We have a sort of a gruff voice that comes out, and then a very elderly lady crony voice that comes out of it. We've had the words Orobas, which is a demonic name, come out of it. Mammon as well, which is another demonic name. You know, am I a believer in the whole demon craze that's going around? No, I'm not at all. But when this thing starts spouting out this kind of stuff, you have to take it very seriously, and it really does baffle everybody.
Now, you mentioned about Calic Chase, about he's got some audio evidence, well, a little bit of audio evidence, but not too much overall. There's a moment when the portal box sort of started making its, I couldn't think of a word to explain when I was talking to Greg about it, sort of, I couldn't really explain the noise it was making. So it was just, I mean, I was sat watching it, I just all of a sudden it's like, what the hell is that noise? Did you ever sort of come to an explanation for that noise or why it sort of turned itself off?
No, absolutely no explanation for it. Just some kind of malfunction. It's never happened before. It's never happened since. The battery was fresh in it, so it wasn't a battery issue. We tested it when we got back to the car. It was fine. It's just a very weird event. Is it paranormal? I can't really say it was paranormal. It was just a very, very strange occurrence. And, you know, there's a lot of theories out there about electromagnetic fields being affected by manifestations, things like that, and possibly otherworldly beings. Did something like that happen with it? I don't know. It's open for debate, really. But it was certainly a weird moment. I think Becky really did crap herself when that happened.
It was terrifying watching on the telly. I couldn't imagine being there on my own. All of a sudden, that noise just—it's the noise itself is a bit unsettling anyway. But it's just doing its normal, especially with like on your own in the forest and this noise, and all of a sudden that starts. I think I'm screaming or whatever. Just the noise it was making was, yeah, it was awful. Must have been awful for Becky to be there. That would be nice. So, Johnny, where sort of forest wise, so you said like Cannock Chase is one of the most haunted forests in the UK. Are there any other sort of forest places that you've been to do investigations?
Yeah, Delamere Forest in Cheshire. That's a fantastic location, really. And it's a place that I actually really just enjoyed going to walk around. But, you know, we covered it in season one. We didn't really capture anything at all in there. And I think it's very difficult to witness true paranormal activity in a wood when there's so many, you know, other factors, wildlife, audio, things like that. You can easily let your imagination get away with you, and the whole Blair Witch Project kind of thing that can come about. But yeah, no, there's a lot of sort of historical reports in Delamere Forest of cults and druids that perform satanic rituals there. And I've actually spoke to an eyewitness who, when he was a young lad, and the guy's about 50 odd now, so you know, going back quite a long time, he drove through there and a hooded figure actually stood out in the middle of the road and tried to get him to stop his car. And all these other cult members were actually in the side, and they were gonna kidnap him. Wow. A very, very scary story.
Well,
I live not too far from Delamere. I've been there in the daytime. It's a lovely place. But yeah, I don't think you need to add that to somewhere to go at night and do some investigations there.
That's another road trip.
That's pretty close to me, so that's a
bit of a trek.
Only half an hour away from me, Delamere.
So. When we record these podcasts, and many times when we're recording or chatting to each other, strange things start to happen. We've captured loads of things. So last night we were recording. So we do a short form podcast every week. We choose and go through alphabetically each state in the US and pick out a paranormal case or series of cases, and we just talk about that just so people can get some more knowledge that's not UK based or whatever. So we were recording last night, and I sent the file over to Ash was going to do some editing, and I get a video clip from Ash saying, "What the fuck, can't believe this, what is this?" And I played a clip, and he's played it over and over and over, and it sounds like a young girl to me. It sounds like a young girl's voice saying, "Hey, listen." I played it at work today, and they seem to think it said panic, so I don't know. And we were actually talking about the Sally House in Kansas, where a six-year-old girl is reportedly died on the operating theatre in the front of this house while being operated on for appendicitis. And that was the episode last night, which will be coming out tomorrow, which will be a week or so ago by the time this podcast goes out, just as a bit of a head fuck that. When you've been recording episodes of Haunted Hunt, so have you captured sort of anything inadvertently when you've been going back editing, you've gone, holy shit, how did we not even hear that? And can we use this? Anything like that happen to you?
Yeah, quite a few times, actually. Just captured on a very simple shotgun Rode microphone on the night vision cameras that we use. The one that stands out to me the most was, or the one that springs to mind the easiest, was actually a place called Dewar in Chester in season two. It was the final episode, and Roxanne was in an area with all these historical Roman artifacts. And a man's voice actually is captured on the camera as a form of EVP. I always say, you know, the human hearing is so poor, really, when you think about it, that a lot of the voices that occur happen outside the human hearing range. And this is captured on one of our microphones at the point. It's very, very interesting indeed. But yeah, it does happen quite a bit. And when you go back, you think, oh my God. And then you have to then somehow include that in the edit.
Yeah, which we haven't, because that won't fit in with the episode. But the strange thing was with this was that we were talking before we started recording it last night, and Ash had just got home back to his place. And I'll let you explain, Ash, because you'll be able to tell it much better than I can.
Well, downstairs apartment's moved out. And I come home like late at night when I finish work, and the apartment's completely empty downstairs. And as I was coming in, it was like, it sounded like pans banging together from this apartment. So I'm like, there's no one in there. So I went, because the curtains have been left open, because I had a look in at the sofa stuff the other day. So I had to look in, and like, there's no one in there. But it's as loud as, because our front door's next to each other, like up to the stairs. And yeah, just loud noise. Like someone banging pans inside the apartment. So I come up telling Greg about that, and then he was telling me about what we talked about with the Kansas episode, and then obviously nothing more. And then when I was about doing the editing, it's literally just as I'm about to speak, the first word of what we recorded, this voice just appeared. I was like, what was that? So I just kept playing it. It's like I say, I never put that connection to the little girl until you just said it, Greg. No. But it's like a high voice. I thought it's like, hey, look. Or something, and then it's just hard to. But then, because Greg only sent me the video version, so he asked him to send me the separate audio files so we could work out which mic it came from, because it could have been on his mic or my mic, but it was my mic. So I'm like, is that little girl in here with me now?
That's crazy, but it is. It's kind of like triangulated evidence. You hear the noise in the apartment, and then that comes through. Yeah. It's kind of really, really weird. Yeah.
And it was even more strange, because at the end of the recording, I said to Ash, your sound sounds really crackly. And to me, it sounded like all robotic and that, like, electronic-y kind of sound. So,
like static.
Yeah, so we came off the call. We went back on a Zoom call so I could listen to the recording. And I was like, well, your voice sounds perfect on the recording. So I sent him the video. Normally, I'll send everything, all the separate audios. And then I just went up to bed. I get this message saying, what the fuck? So I said to my wife, I need to go back downstairs. I just need to go and send Ash the separate audio of the Zoom call. And then that's when he came back and said it was on his microphone, which is even more weird after everything that had happened before we started recording. So, yeah, interesting.
Send it over, guys. I'll be interested in having a listen.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what you make of what is said, because, as I say, it sounds to me one version. The girls on my team at work, I played it over and over, and they're all like huddling around the phone going, well, I can't hear that, but I can hear this. So yeah, it'd be interesting. So we do get quite a lot of weird stuff happening. And we'd mentioned last time we'd done the Estes method remotely. So Ash is in Manchester, I'm down in Oxford, so we've got this massive gap, and we've done the Estes method over Zoom. We've also had good sort of good results, hit or miss. And then we done it at Cannock Chase, where we had some amazing responses. We got that all on camera, especially my reaction to what Ash is saying, and loads of freaky stuff happening on that. And that is really good footage. I think we discussed last time about the Estes method being a really good medium for paranormal or some kind of communication device. Do you still have that view that yes, this method is a great one, or have you since we spoke found any new methods of experiments that you found to be productive?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I still am a massive fan of the SS method, or the Ganzfeld experiment, as some call it. Just sort of taking away those senses, that the sight and sounds really is fantastic. And I think if it's done correctly, you know, that's a really interesting one that you guys have just said, where you've actually done it over a call. That's really interesting. But yeah, certainly it's an experiment that I enjoy taking part in, and we've had some fantastic results from it. In terms of other experiments, I think my favourite one at the minute, and you're going to see quite a bit of it in season 5, is what we do is we rig up a very high-powered Rode microphone. We put it on a microphone stand, and then we trail it 100, 200 metres away into either the downstairs or completely different area of the location, nowhere near us, and we have it connected to a software system, Adobe Audition, and we watch the waveforms of that microphone to see if any spikes happen, and we can immediately play back straight away. And that is a really scientific and fascinating way of being able to run sort of a more technical EVP session, if you like, because you know that nobody's in that room, and especially we've put a camera on the microphone as well to prove that. And the fact that if we were to see a spike in the waveform, we can immediately stop the recording, play it back, and see if anything's been captured, or whether it's just natural phenomena such as wood expanding, contracting, things like that.
So if you do you ask questions remotely and go for the answer in the distance? So
yeah, we do both. So the sessions where it's just simply watch and wait, and you just or you know, a couple of investigators will be in a different area doing stuff, and we'll have a couple of crew members watching the waveform in that area of the location, or we'll run a call out session and actually really sort of project our voices so that we can be heard as well. And some of the results that we've had from it have been fascinating.
Cool. So have you found any new locations that you hadn't been to before that have been equally as paranormal, for want of a better phrase, than places like Pendle Hill or any of the places that you've investigated before?
Yeah, you know, I think Pendle Hill will always be one of my number one places. But I get asked constantly, when am I going to go back? When am I going to go back? And the simple answer is, we're not going to anytime soon, because we've done it. We don't want to sort of ruin it by going back time and time again and not capturing anything, which would definitely be the case, because what we stumbled across that week, I think, was just one of them rare things. I've been before and witnessed activity on quite a big scale, but then I've been plenty of other times and witnessed absolutely nothing. I think, you know, in season 4, we did quite a lot of new locations. And one of my standout ones was Silver Mountain, the mines in Aberystwyth, Wales. That was a really surprising and quite a shocking location for the audio phenomena that we captured there. One location that I would like to sort of mention, because of what they're currently doing with the place, is Yold King's Head in Chester. Now, I covered that on both The Haunted Hunts and Series 2 of Paranormal Captured, and have captured mind-blowing, jaw-dropping evidence there. What they're currently doing with the place is turning it into a My Haunted Hotel horror experience, where people can actually go over and stay overnight in there and take on a proper professional paranormal investigation in themed rooms. They've made loads of changes to the building, which will be interesting to see if that stirs up any paranormal activity.
Wow, sounds like a place to visit.
Are there any sort of theories or ideas that you have that can explain the phenomena? Like, you capture quite a lot of evidence of different things happening. What do you think is causing these this phenomena to happen?
I've witnessed so many mind-blowing pieces of what I would deem to be evidence. I've got to admit, I am definitely a believer in the paranormal, but I can't ignore the fact that I started out as a skeptic, and I will always have that inner fight with myself where the believer and the skeptic are constantly going head to head. I think what I've learned to do more recently is try to rule out every other explanation behind it. And a big one is things like infrasound, also baseline testing locations. A lot of paranormal investigators, they're using EMF detectors in the wrong way. EMF detectors should be used to rule out the possibility of electromagnetic field poisoning, which can cause hallucinations, things like that. And I think once you've ruled out every sort of possibility, the natural sounds buildings make, things like that, know how your equipment's working, and then you're capturing proper evidence without, pseudo tech, things like that, then there is no explanation for it. I think sometimes people try to be too skeptical, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. I've been guilty of it. I try to be too skeptical when I think sometimes you just have to stand up and admit that as human beings, we don't know what is out there. And science, I've always said this, and I'll take a lot of stick for it as well, but it's true. Science always has contradicted itself. It wasn't so long ago that, smoking was apparently good for you. It wasn't so long ago that people believed the earth was flat. Science has always had a way of contradicting itself. And in 50 years' time, 100 years' time, new scientists will come up with new theories that will, contradict what scientists are saying now. I think sometimes we just have to accept that as human beings, we don't know everything, and there's stuff out there that we can't explain, and there's stuff out there that could be potentially going on that is way beyond our understanding.
So I think I mentioned it when we spoke before that it's refreshing when I see you commenting and replying to people on social media about how sort of skeptical but also level-headed thinking that you have when you're responding to people who say this is absolutely paranormal. There's these orbs flying around, and you go, no, it's dust. And some people just won't accept stuff like that. I mean, I've been booted off of groups for just trying to provide a rational explanation as to what we're seeing. Same, me and Ash last year, we put up photographs saying that it was a plane, not a UFO, and people would not have it, even though I took the photo, I put the picture up. I live right next to Bryce Norton Air Base, and I see planes coming over 24/7, and I took a long exposure photo of a plane going past my house. I put it up there, and this guy was adamant it was a UFO. And I said, look, I took the photo, I saw the plane go over. It's the phenomena you're seeing in this photograph is a clear, long exposure. It wouldn't have it. So do you feel that social media is a platform for people who blindly accept everything? Is it a good thing, social media, for the paranormal, or no?
This is always going to cause debate, isn't it? Yeah. I'll start off by saying that I think there's a misconception where people look at people like me who work in television and will say it's all about entertainment. I'd like to be living proof that that is not the case, because as you just said, I will respond to people. I'm very appreciative of people who follow me on social media and support me. But I can't deem myself as a professional paranormal investigator without trying to educate people. And, you know, I've recently attended a call-out case where the lady sent me mobile phone footage of what is clearly dust flying past her camera, and she believes it's a spirit. And that's absolutely fine for her to believe that, you know, I've got no issues with that. But then it's my job to politely and correctly educate her in the right way. And what I did was I recorded a video for her and I proved the theory. And she was very thankful for that. I think social media over the last few years, 3-4 years, has not become a great place for paranormal. It has its advantages where you can have great discussions with like-minded people. You get to meet amazing people. You get to promote your stuff. You get to help educate the field. But on the negative side, it breeds trolls, of which there are a hell of a lot in this industry. And like you just said, you know, you will get a lot of these group pages where people will just blatantly believe absolutely everything is paranormal. And it's just not the case. And, you know, you can't take the mickey out of people's belief systems. You can't, you know, discriminate against them. You can't laugh at it because it's not funny. But sometimes these people just need a helping hand to educate. And I'm very lucky to be in a position where I get a lot of attention on what I post. So if I can help people by doing that, then great. And if they choose then not to believe me after that, then that's their choice. There's nothing I can do about that.
Yeah, so I've seen you comment on certain things that have been posted, and people have come back and said, thanks, that clears it up for me. I've been on pages where people are putting up the shittest of pictures, for want of a better phrase, of just this blob that's zoomed in, pixelated, and saying, can you see these faces? And people going, yeah, I can see a woman's face, I can see a dog. I'm like, show me. I'm happy to try and understand what you're seeing. And it's not about me being a troll, and I've apologised to people before if they felt like I was coming across like that. But I'm trying to educate people in what they're seeing. And like you say, if you can rule out everything, what you're left with, if you can't, even if you can't explain it, that's something weird. But there's a lot of groups on social media, and I find increasing amounts where they're seeing stuff that isn't there. And then I get told that, oh, so certain people can see stuff and certain people can't. I'm like, well, yeah, I get that, but it's not.
It's a long battle that you're going to have with trying to do it. And it's just, you know, it's something that I just will not entertain because, you know, I've got a very busy life. And if I spend my life looking on these group pages and just going, no, that's this, it's just, you know, I'm never going to have any time to do anything at all. But all we can do is just help where we can, and if we are asked, then we give our opinion.
Yeah, we get people messaging us quite a lot, just saying this is happening, or what do you think of this? And so we try our best, but we're certainly not experts in the slightest. But
I don't think there is any such thing in this field as an expert. I certainly wouldn't class myself as one at all. I think people have more experience than others, and people think differently to others, and that's a good thing. I think, you know, the more differing mindsets, the better, because we can all learn from each other.
Cool. So, I mean, that sort of about wraps us up for now. Well, so what is the future for Danny? What have you got coming up, and when can we see Haunted Hunt Season 5?
Yeah, so there'll be an announcement very soon, coming in March, actually, for the release date of Season 5. It's going to be happening this spring, so not far away at all. We're almost finished filming now. I think we finish very, very early March. We wrap on the final episode. It'll be 6 episodes long, this one. And apart from that, I'm in talks right now with 3 separate producers about other development ideas. But I think, you know, trying to get something commissioned nowadays is very particular, and I'm quite fussy on what I will work on as well. You know, if people ask me to work on certain things and I'm not feeling it, then I won't. But you know, I think also, you know, I'm always going to have a battle on my hands, as will others who work in this industry, on if you work on television, you'll get strapped with a label of entertainer. And you know, that's just the way it is, unfortunately. But yeah, I'm really, really looking forward to this year. And I think now that we've come out of COVID and everything, I think it's going to be exciting times for everyone.
Definitely.
Awesome. Good luck with it.
Yeah. And thank you for your time. It's been great again to talk to you. Hopefully we can talk again in the future.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks so much for having me. And I wish you both well for this year.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Pursuit of the Paranormal with Ash and Greg.